Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, sir. Welcome to another week. And when I say another week, this is a big week. We are the prelude to the 2026 season. We'll get underway this week with kickoff classics in high school, college winding down, or actually winding up, and the NFL. We have our first preseason tilt.
We had one Thursday.
No, I'm talking about the Hurricane. I mean, the Dolphins. This is the first Dolphins. Listen, I wasn't going to diss Carson Beck. Come on now, you know? But anyway, we having an opportunity to get football back for good. And it's going to be an interesting season no matter where you're at. High school-wise, like I said, it'll be kickoff classic week. And then next week is for real. It has really been – and it's crazy because that it goes slow – because the off season, I mean, is really the off season. It is 8 months. If you don't make the playoffs in high school football, then what happens is you end up playing in November, and then the next time you go spring, and then the next time for real will be next week. But because of the fact that the zest to be the best has kind of transformed these high schools into competitive machines where they're playing now every year teams from across the country. It used to be, oh, well, you know, you're running from that team across town. That's way in the past. Because now you're going to play regional teams from your own state, which you do in the state championship run or in the playoffs. And then you now, because of these national rankings and everybody wanting to be the best, you get in a situation where you play the best. And, you know, all the answers are put in front of you. And no longer do you say, well, if we played that California team, well, guess what? You know, we have next week, we're going to have Dr. Kevin Perry on from the Broward National Football Showcase. And I'm telling you, that tournament has morphed into, I would have to say, the best in the country. Because, you know, over the past couple of years, you're bringing in teams from California and Alabama and Georgia and Pennsylvania and on and on and on, and Vegas. And this year, pretty much the same, because we're going to get a chance to see some of the, you know, nationally. Remember last year, what was it? 1, 2, 3, 5, and 7 were here in the country to begin the season with. And this year, it's probably no exception, with the exception of St. John Bosco of California, who've been down to Florida 4 straight years because they played down here a couple times. They played up in Bradenton area once. But that doesn't preclude a lot of these teams that are going to be heading out west, like Miami Central will be playing Orangewood Christian of California in that Trinity League. And we have quite the doubleheader on the second week of the season at St. Thomas, where you're going to have Miami Christopher Columbus playing against Bishop Gorman of Las Vegas, who arguably year after year after year is the best high school football team in the country. And then Texas finally gets the Cajones to come to Florida. Finally, they've talked the biggest game over the last couple of decades about how they're the best, this is the best. And, yeah, DeSoto, really good football program. Not going to take any shots at how good they are. I just don't like the fact that they were always talking about, if we play a Florida team. Yeah, well, you get St. Thomas Aquinas, so you know, it's kind of be careful what you wish for, because St. Thomas has an opportunity if they run the table this year. And that includes the open division where, you know, you're going to play the best of the best. It's sort of like now, you know, last week, I believe John Santucci of the USA Today put together a scenario where it looked like the World Cup. Because you had one division, one group of teams, Chaminade, St. Thomas, Lakeland, and Miami Central. I mean, Argentina, France, Spain, England. That's, I mean, so if you run the table, St. Thomas Aquinas, and win them all and go 15-0 and win your 8th consecutive state championship, it would be tough to deny the Raiders as the national champions. I mean, I'm going to say that right here on August the 10th, but let's be honest. I mean, you've got an opportunity to, you know, they tell you, you know, you got to play the best. And St. Thomas will, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to lighten the load a little bit. I mean, you can't be playing elite teams every week. What are we, Notre Dame? I mean, you know, come on.
What are you, the SEC in Florida, who plays like Long Island University?
That's it. You know, we'll play Ole Miss and we'll play Texas, but we'll also play Fordham and a couple of schools like that. I won't mention UConn. But UConn does come down. Our FIU does play UConn this year.
UConn has Stones to move down, come down and play Florida. That's a first, anyways.
Yeah.
They don't have Stones to tell Tennessee to play anyways, especially in basketball.
Yeah, but I will tell you, it's gotten a lot better. It really has, and certainly, you know, you get an opportunity now to see some of the best teams week in and week out, and even this week with the kickoff classic, which you're gonna touch a little bit on tonight. You got some pretty good games. I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know, it'll be like the Knicks playing the Boston Celtics in an exhibition game. You get excited. You'll see a couple of the starters for a minute. But in these games, I think what happens, even though they don't count with air quotes, it kind of puts – it's one of those things like, you know, you're in a court of law and this guy spills his beans and gives every detail in the world. They go, oh, let's strike that from the record. Well, what are you striking? Everybody heard it. So that's a lot of the approach coming into the exhibition season, because if you do well, people are going to remember when the first week comes and the rankings come out that, hey, well, wait a minute. You know, Carroll City, who kind of added 40-something players over the last, you know, months, is going to be playing West Boca Raton, two-time defending state champion. So if Carroll City goes up there on Friday and does real well, then they've got a legitimate shot to say, hey, I told you. You know, a lot of people say, hey, you can't add that much talent to one roster in such a short period of time, because everybody that you've added, in some cases, are the alpha. You know, they were the dudes where they came from. So now everybody's on that team and they're trying to fit in as a team. See, that's the toughest part of building a roster, an elite roster from scratch in less than a year. Because you got to be on the same page. You got to have that chemistry. And I know coaches, everything will take care of itself. You know what? That's fine and dandy. But if a game's on the line and it's 4th-and-3 and this kid who's, you know, ran for 1,800 yards last year all of a sudden isn't given the ball in favor over somebody that they brought in, and all of a sudden he doesn't make it, then the fingers start pointing. Human nature. You could say, oh, it's not going to happen all you want, but it does. It does. These are young kids. Well, you know what? And I won't even say that. It happens in college, happens in the NFL. You know, I mean, it's just human nature. And, you know, we've got an opportunity starting this week to see some really good talent. Talent that, you know, beginning with the seniors, who in most cases, if you're one of those gifted, heavily rated players, you've already made your commitment, or you're pretty close to it. Because we're in that day and age now where 95% to 98% of the student athletes who are seniors will be on college campuses in the first week of January. See, that never happened before. That 5-month growing up period from January until May is a whole different story, because you have an opportunity now to get an edge as a freshman going into college. You see, Miami used that to their utmost last year, and they're doing the same thing now. FIU did it. FAU's done it. Everybody around the country are getting those early enrollee freshmen that come in. And, you know, I mean, obviously, like anything, you kind of are dead set against a lot of these changes. You know, the OGs, like myself, but I'm not, you know, I've been at this so long, I've taken every hurdle as they come and say, okay, you know what, if I don't like it, I could be in the minority, You know, and you know, it's going to happen anyway. So even though I don't, there's a few things that I'm not in favor of, and I'm not the only one. There's people that are much younger and have been around a lot less time that feel the same way. It's just that, you know, now these decision makers, you know, having done, again, with those large air quotes, their research on all this, you know, they have the answer to everything. And then you get in that situation where you got to follow the leader. And that's why sacrilege of Notre Dame and USC not playing. I mean, come on. When you're a football purist, you remember that game. That game kind of defined the season as, you know, a cross-country rivalry that, I mean, it happened every single year. Early years, Miami-Florida just doesn't happen anymore.
Miami-Notre Dame. Even though they're playing these past back-to-back years, it's not the same.
That's a good point, because back in the 60s and 70s, they played all the time.
And
but both were independents, and both needed games, and both needed to fill out their schedule. So Miami now has to play ACC teams. So Notre Dame, who's too scared or doesn't want to go in to the
ACC. No, they're scared. You could say it. Don't back down. They're scared. Don't worry.
To play in the ACC, where they're going to have to play Clemson every year and play Miami most likely and Virginia Tech. And, you know, I mean, I'm not calling them powers, but we saw a couple of years ago when Marshall went to South Bend and beat Notre Dame.
Central Illinois too, also.
Yeah, Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois, Central Illinois.
One of those centrals. Central.
One of those schools Northern that Sean Illinois. Payton went to anyway.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. I mean, in this day and age of if you're in a conference, it's just like I'm looking at USC's schedule. And no matter what you want to say, obviously they don't have Notre Dame, but they come east three times. They play Penn State, they play Indiana, and they play Rutgers. And I'm not saying Rutgers is – but coming east, you know, three out of 5 and 6 weeks, that you know, I mean, even look at Miami having to go for their opener out to Stanford on a Friday night. I mean, they're leaving a couple of days early just to get acclimated, and I can understand, because they were lethargic a couple of years ago when they had to go to Cal and play at 10:30. That was when Mendoza became that guy. And almost rallied, and it was a pass interference away from losing the game. So, yeah, there's lessons to be learned in schedule making. And yeah, you kind of highlight the Texas-Ohio State game. But then again, you know, look at who both play, or look at who Ohio State plays after that. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. If they get –
that's Ohio State for you. They play a bunch of nobodies after they play one big game at week one anyways. Come on.
I'm of the belief that in the next couple of years, Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA, Cal, and Stanford got to return to their California roots.
Could they join the Big 12 at least? Because they have the Arizona schools are there. Think about it. The travel will be a lot easier.
Yeah, but so is UCF.
Hey.
And Houston and Memphis. And
well, Houston's
Cincinnati.
In that area. Think about it. Houston's perfectly in that area. Nah, it's a quick flight to Dallas, which is like an hour, 45 minutes. A quick trip to Baylor. Quick trip to Lawrence, Kansas. Quick trip to Florida, which is like 2 hours. That's fine, at least.
Take those 8 schools, Trevor, and move them back into the pack. Whatever it is.
Move them to the Big 12. The bounce house conference for life.
Take Boise State and put them back in the Mountain West or wherever they came from.
The WAC.
And here's the crazy thing, is the reason why the Pac-12 disbanded was no TV contract.
So, yeah, I know that. They're idiots running, morons running the Pac-12 anyways.
Yeah.
Moron Mountain, I call them.
And to me, if you would only get one of these Foxes or whatever to sign a 20-year deal for a TV contract, you could bring back these regional games, where you now if USC and UCLA don't play, come on.
That's a crime. If those two teams don't play, it's a crime.
9 miles away from each other. I mean,
it'll be a parade and a riot on Figueroa Street already. Think about it.
But same thing with Oregon State. Same thing with Washington State. Even though they're not all in the same conferences anymore, they're still in that situation where, you know, they're not in the same conference. And to me, you know, watching USC in the Big Ten baseball championship game is, and UCLA winning the women's basketball, but not being a Pac-12 member, but being a Big Ten member is a little bit skewed, I think.
Then they should just play in the West Coast Conference. If you know, you know. Play in the West, the WCC.
The only reason why, though, Trevor, is because of the TV contracts. You know that. Money, 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 money.
I know, but if you can bitch and moan about it, just go to the West Coast Conference, the smallest conference of all the Catholic schools. Go there then.
Well, yeah, but you look at the SEC, and there's really only one city that pegs the meter for actually being a city is Nashville. Other than that, you've got Athens and Starkville and you know, I mean...
Lexington.
Norman.
Lexington, and, you got.
Yeah, well, that's not a hub. I mean, that's okay. I mean, Lexington. But we're talking Nashville. 4 million, 3 million people.
Lexington has people, music. Too, by the way. It's Kentucky.
Yeah, okay.
It's Kentucky.
Okay, so too. But anyway, we can get into that discussion with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Good show. You know, where next week will probably even be better. Coach Jake Pugh, the head coach at Archbishop McCarthy, defending district champions. He'll join us at 7:35. Coach Ariel Cribero, the head coach at Barbara Goldman. They went 3 rounds deep, furthest that school's ever been last year. Our own Alex Donna will join us, Locked On Canes. He's fresh off of his Alaskan cruise. He just got back from Alaska, and he will join us about 7:05. Chris Nee, our good friend from Tallahassee, from Knowles 247, will join us to talk about what do we expect out of FSU. I'll tell you what, there's some ledge jumpers already for that program. Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Service will kind of run the gamut of some of the top teams locally and statewide. And Ira Reynolds, good dude. Put the former coach, you know, Panhandle up in the Big Bend area. He's come up the last couple of years with the Sports for Change Kickoff Classic. And we have, out of the six teams, four teams. So we're going to talk about that as well. So, hope you could be with us up until 8 o'clock. You know, from the weekend warrior to the starting lineup, the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute helps every athlete recover their game. You know, visit uhealthsports.com. That's uhealthsports.com. Hope you're with us tonight until 8 o'clock. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris will take this time out. Come back and talk to Ira Reynolds about this week's kickoff class.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Harris back with you on a Monday evening. Glad you could be with us. And like I said, you know, a lot going on. Start of high school football season. And, you know, who's going to be the top teams, obviously, this year? You know, you could speculate. You already know that a program like St. Thomas Aquinas is going to be there. But somebody who's kind of traveled the entire state for a long, long time, kind of knows the score more than anybody when it comes to high school football. He gets to go to practices. He films a lot of the games, so he sees a lot of the teams, as well as Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services, and he's kind enough to join us this evening. Charles, thanks so much for taking the time, and obviously, you know, you and I have been at this for a minute, and here we are. You know, kickoff classic week this week. Next week, we have some of the, you know, some of the really good games. And, you know, what I noticed, too, is no longer do you have to say, well, if this team played that team or that team played this team, now everybody plays one another, kind of far cry from 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody, speaking with them, and they were telling me, like, West Boca's playing Carroll City, and then they're playing Heritage. I'm like, man, I remember when, you know, West Boca didn't want to play any of those teams, but now every week they play like a top five team in the state being down here.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, and you know as well as I do, I mean, you look at the job that Roger Harriott's done at St. Thomas Aquinas, and you can say what you want, oh, they're private, this and that, but there's a lot of programs that are private throughout the state and in South Florida. What they've done is just amazing. I mean, they, you know, they don't have to go hunt down kids. They know, everybody knows that they've won seven straight. They're one of the top programs in the country. They produce an amazing amount of college and NFL talent. Talk about that program, because, you know, when they say that's a standard, it really is a standard.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to one of their coaches the other day, and they brought it. They have like 90-something freshmen coming in. So they just process kids through there. It's a football factory. It's basically what it is, and they produce a lot of talent, and they get very good coaching. But winning, you know, I forgot the last time they lost. It's been so long in a state title game. So they've produced they have a very great, very good program.
Yeah, no doubt. Not only that, here you have a program like Miami Carroll City. Team was 6-5 last year. Then all of a sudden, obviously, they've added a bunch of new faces, a lot of talent to that team. And they've kind of vaulted not only into the local and the statewide picture, but they're picked by Max Preps as number 11 in the country. Kind of tough to kind of vault them into that position. But you know what type of talent that Coach Rowe has. What do you think about them this year?
I mean, defensive line, you could argue they have one of the best defensive lines, not only in South Florida, but in the state of Florida. Wide receivers, you know, they're loaded at receiver. They're bringing in the quarterback that took Chaminade to a state championship last year. My only concern with them is their old line. I watched a lot of their games from last year, and they seem to, if they had one spot, that you have some concerns going into the season, that old line. But there is some talent there, so that if those kids develop, they'll be fine. But you know how it is. You're only as good as those guys up front. Their old line's the one spot I'm interested to see how they develop this year, especially early in the season.
Yeah, no doubt. Charles Fishbein joining us, Elite Scouting Service, obviously. Not only does he get a chance to see these teams live, but goes to a lot of camps. Also, does a lot of filming as well. You take a look at American Heritage. This is a program that has won, the last two. Coach Mike Smith, a great coach, has done a tremendous job. Talk about that program, because I think, they have an opportunity with a lot of frontline talent. Not very deep, but, with the addition of Neiman Lawrence and some of the other players, this is another team that that may have a shot, even with that crazy schedule, to be in the open division.
Yeah, I think last year was Mike Smith's best coaching job at Heritage, because I don't think that team should have won a state. And I think if you sat down and asked them with some truth serum, he would pretty much tell you the same thing, that wasn't one of their more talented teams. I thought he had to coach that team to a state championship and win it last year. This year with Neiman, they're a lot better. He's probably one of the best quarterbacks, not only in Florida, but nationally, committed to Texas. But, the Bueno kid's coming back from an injury. He's a very good running back. They've got guys. This team is more talented, but not the most talented teams don't always win.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Two teams to keep an eye on, obviously, Shaman Amidana, been to that state title game 10 consecutive years. Damian Jones does an awesome job. It's kind of a system now. They lost quite a few players, but they added a lot. Added the kid Brady Quinn from Naples, but they have tremendous receiving core. Tremone Isaac, one of the top juniors in the country. Talk about that program.
Well, they've not only had turnover on the roster, but they bring Coach Perez in to be the offensive coordinator. I think they're going to be a lot more functional on offense this year. You saw towards the end of last year, especially in the state finals, they just seemed to not, for the talent they had, they just seemed kind of out of sync. This year, they seemed a little more organized, especially the spring and fall when I went out there and watched them. I like what they've got going. Brady's one of the top, junior quarterbacks. He's got a lot of talent, and he's got a lot of weapons to throw to.
Yeah, no doubt. You look at Miami Central, and they kind of really reloaded, fell short last year. They had to go up against Miami Northwestern, which at the time was really loaded. I thought that they kind of fell apart in the state championship game. I think if they played Jacksonville Reigns 10 times, I don't think that the Reigns would have won any other game. But, what happened that way, they had a lot of talent. What do you think about, Derek Gibson in Miami Central? Because that's a program locally that has an opportunity, Charles, to kind of do some really good things as well.
They got talent, and they've won. They've won at a high level. Last year was kind of a disappointing year because, of their success over the prior decade. But they ran into a team that had more talent than last year in Miami Northwestern. I don't think that's the case this year. I think they're the best team, public school in Dade County this year. Maybe, like you said, maybe Carroll City, maybe a Columbus or Miami Palmetto. But I think Gibson has a team that has a chip on their shoulder to prove that they're still one of the best programs. And I can see them getting it done this year.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you. Hey, let me ask you, Christopher Columbus. We know Coach Dave Dunn is a tremendous coach. Last year, kind of an off year, 4-7. They went out and got some really good talent. Is this a year where they can return, or do some of these other programs, not just here with Miami Palmetto, but up the road with Venice and also DeLand and Lake Mary and Vero Beach, do these teams have too much talent, or does that coaching prevail and some of those pieces like a Kai Moore or Amir Sears kind of put them in that position where, they have an opportunity to get back in the state championship picture?
So anytime they step on the field, you could argue that they have the best player on the field, no matter who they play, with Amir Sears. What he did at West Virginia here, you saw it in the Southridge game. He basically took it over on both sides of the ball. He's a difference maker, kind of like a Travis Hunter who played it. Played in college and NFL. But that's Amir is a difference maker. I think he basically is one of those players that could pick a team up put him on his shoulders and take him pretty far in the playoffs. Columbus is, you know, they reloaded this year. You could argue they had the number one recruiting class in Florida this year, but, you know, I don't want to get in trouble for saying that, but yeah, they have a very good team.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carroll City will fight you for that too. You know, I mean, they added a lot of pieces as well. Talk about anybody else that you have a feeling that has an opportunity to knock off St. Thomas, because you know as well as I do. I mean, St. Thomas, they're the elite team. They should get to that open division. I mean, you know, they face, you know, a team from the Texas area and DeSoto this year in the Broward Showcase. You know, last couple of years they played Bosco. They also had an opportunity to play Bishop Gorman. You know, it's gotten to the point where everyone used to say, well, St. Thomas don't play anybody. But I think that's wrong now. I think that they – you know, they load up their schedule with those type of games. You know, thank God for the BCAA where they give them four or five games, you know, like in between having to play Columbus and having to play those teams. Do they have the goods to go all the way and go undefeated?
I mean, yeah, outside of the team that they had with LaMarcus that didn't win state, they ended up losing, I believe, the Manatee. This would go down as – that much of an upset if this team didn't go to state and win it all this year. They're just loaded top to bottom, offensive line, defensive line, skill positions with Julio at the wide receiver position. You know, I'm a big fan of Cody Konis. I think he's going to have a breakout season. I just think they have too much. They're a machine, and I just don't see anybody touching them this year. Maybe one of the out-of-state teams, maybe they could upset them, but I doubt it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services. Charles, let everybody know how they can follow you. You do a really, really good job, you know, social media-wise. You're always on either Facebook or on X, and also you have that Elite Scouting Services where you're helping kids and trying to get kids promoted and stuff. Let everybody know if they want to follow you, how they do it.
Yeah, I mean, on X, I do it, ESS Florida. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us. We could send you out a questionnaire, get your information, get your stuff out to the colleges. Pretty much anybody we get their information, they get out there and is in front of any of the schools from D1 down to 1AA and NAIA schools. So you're going to get exposure if you go through us.
Good stuff. Charles, I can't thank you enough, man, for making time. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Have a great evening.
Good stuff. Charles Fishbein, Elite Scouting Services. I'll tell you what, he knows what he's talking about. He's been around. Speaking about knowing what they're talking about, our next guest has kind of developed a pretty decent kickoff classic series. Last year up in Vero Beach, they had some really good games. This year, they're doing the same through the Sports for Change kickoff classic. Will be held at Bronco Field in Wellington, Palm Beach Central. Thursday, West Broward, Lakeland. Friday, Palm Beach Central, Northwestern. And Saturday, Norland and Chaminade. We welcome in Ira Reynolds. Ira, thanks so much for taking the time. Again, you come up with a great kickoff classic. Thanks so much for what you do. I mean, I know all those years of coaching and being around football, you couldn't let it go, man. You had to be around it.
Hey, man. Hey, Larry, listen, man, I appreciate you bringing me on. You've always been a straight-up guy and first class. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. And listen, football is in my blood, man. I don't know if I could ever completely detach myself from football. So this gives when the knees kind of don't allow me to be on the field as much and long as I used to, this gives me an opportunity to take connected to some high school football.
No doubt. And you and I have a really good bond, especially with our friend Johnny Cofield, who passed. Somebody who probably gave as much to the game as anybody. Yeah. And we lost him a few months ago, and certainly a big loss.
Yeah.
You know, the entire state of Florida, and for what he did to expose players and get them out. But and he coached with you for a number of years, you know, during your state championship run at Florida A&M High School. Talk about the reason why you decided to do this Sports for Change Kickoff Classic starting last year up in Vero.
Well, going back to Johnny Cofield, that thing broke my heart. He's been a close friend for over 30 years. And to be honest with you, he's the one that got me involved with putting on events, Kickoff Classics. And so I decided when I stepped down from coaching a little bit, I said, well, I need to do something to stay connected. So I said, let me do another Kickoff Classic. And I called Lenny up in Vero, and he was happy to let me host it there. And when I tell you the talent that was in that whole weekend was just amazing. And it's no different this year. We're lining up some teams that have quite a few D1 prospects. My last count, and I haven't got everything in yet, but my last count is going to be right at about 90 D1 prospects, and I still hadn't gotten Chaminade's roster yet. So, wow.
So my
guess is going to be over 100 D1 prospects. And I know it's a dead period for colleges, but you can rest assured someone will be there looking at all this talent.
Yeah, no doubt. That first game on Thursday night, defending state 6A runner-up Wes Broward from down South Florida going against perennial power Lakeland, which should be a really, really good. Coach Frazier has done a great job up at Lakeland. Coach Mack has done a super job at West Broward, just getting them to the finals. I mean, last year they beat Southridge. They beat Gainesville Buchholz to get to the state title game. Then Friday night, kind of a pretty decent contest. Two pretty good teams in Miami Northwestern. New coaching staff brings that program up to Palm Beach Central. Coach Thompson's done a great job. They're a really, really good program. They're well coached. Yeah. They always have big lines and a lot of talent. And then Saturday, kind of a neighborhood battle from South Florida and Chaminade Madonna, who's been to state title game 10 straight years against the Miami New Orleans team, who was at the state title game a couple years ago up at Bragg at Florida A&M when they played up against Tampa Berkeley Prep. So six really good teams, a lot of good action kind of kicking off the season. How do people get involved in that? How do they buy their tickets and how do they get involved? They're all three of the games will be at 7:00.
Yeah, that is correct. And they can purchase their tickets off my website, which is sportsforchange.com. I'm telling them at the venue, the facility seating is not as big as it was up in Vero. So I'm encouraging everyone to hurry and buy the tickets so they can represent their team. But to your point, Thursday night, Lakeland, and that's going to be a really good one. You have those two coaches they excite me. In fact, those guys got me so fired up, I want to go coach with them. So they're my type of guys, and that really believe in the old fashioned, but the good old we're gonna line up and come right at you and see if you're gonna stop us. They both have that mentality, and their guys have worked extremely hard over the summer. Had a chance to speak with them. You know, I checked with all of them, and that's gonna be a very exciting game. Then Friday night, some would say Northwestern is down, and they lost some players, but they're still the Bulls, and it's the pride and tradition that keep those guys believing that they can do exactly what they've been doing, and that's win. Now, Palm Beach Central had a really good season last year. The coach has done a fantastic job with them. I had a chance to peek at them at a scrimmage this past Saturday, and you're correct, Larry. They have a huge offensive and defensive line. And they get those big bodies to lean on somebody and make a little noise. Before you know it, it could be a really, really good game. So I'm excited about that game. And, of course, the marquee game will be Saturday night. Norland is much improved. They were really good last year. Coach Johnson did a good job with them now. Coach Bam is with them, who was with Northwestern. Bringing that excitement to practice, bringing that excitement and mindset that we're going to win, we're going to improve much better than we did last year. Coach Jones, well, can't say enough about him at Chaminade. all that guy does is win. And produce guys that love the game and go on to do some great things. So it's going to be an exciting weekend. I thought last year was really good, and this year we're stepping it up even more. So I'm saying that everybody that's in this kickoff classic, they're going to be in the playoff, deep into the playoff, and quite possibly in the state championship. So it's an exciting event. I encourage everybody to go on the website, sportsforchange.com, purchase your ticket, and get ready to come out and watch some great high school football.
Good stuff. Ira, I can't thank you enough, man. Good talking to you. As always, man, I appreciate what you do, and we'll talk soon.
Listen, man, I appreciate you, brother, and you take care, and we'll be talking soon.
Yep. Ira Reynolds, Sports for Change, the kickoff classic this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday up at Palm Beach Central Senior High School. So if you get a chance to go out, it's kickoff classic, but as he said, some really good teams. You know, recovery isn't a guessing game. It's a science. Let the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute help you recover your game. Your comeback starts right here at uhealthsports.com. That's uhealthsports.com. When we come back, close out hour number one. Coming up from Knowles 247, Chris Nee talks FSU football.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and surfaces with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say, "We're really doing this." But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM, sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, to 8 o'clock with you this evening. Thanks so much. in our first two guests, Ira Reynolds, who has a really, really good event coming up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Kickoff Classic. Also to Charles Fishbein from Elite Scouting Services, kind of taking a look at some of the teams in South Florida that will have an opportunity to maybe play for the Open Division or a state championship. One of the programs that a lot of people have been talking to me about all spring and all summer are the Seminoles of FSU, and certainly coming off a kind of a trying year. Will they be better? They've got some talent, obviously some coaching changes in the offseason. Chris Nee covers them for Knowles 247 and does an outstanding job. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. Well, answer please, because I'll tell you, everywhere I went, Chris, everyone was going, hey, what about my Seminoles? Are they going to come back? Come on, Larry, tell me that they're going to be better. I said, well, we'll talk to Chris because he's there every day.
I do think they'll be better. I don't know how much that will translate into a much better record. The schedule is pretty difficult, especially that October stretch when they go Louisville, at Miami, and then they're at home with Clemson to close out the month. So that's going to be a pretty trying time for them. I do think they're a better football team than I watched a season ago here in Tallahassee, but I don't think they're going to improve by leaps and bounds. I think that record could flip going from 5-7 to 7-5, but I think they're going to be in that neighborhood again. I don't think they're going to make a dramatic improvement.
Chris, is it imperative that they make a bowl game? I mean, because, you know, that's kind of a standard. And even though you finished 7-5, you could at least say, you know what, we went to a bowl game. We hadn't been there, in a minute. So here we are. We're back. We're rising. So it kind of gives, kind of quiets the faithful for at least an off season. Or do they got to do better than 7-5? Do they have to, you know, could they win 8? Could they win 9? Or is that maybe, as you said, kind of out of the realm?
I think trying to win the fan base back, it needs to be more than 7 personally, but I think as far as retaining his job and him remaining here, Mike Norvell is that coach, I think 7-5 probably would be adequate for them. I don't think there's a burning desire to run him off and pay 40 some odd million dollars at the end of this coming season to do that and then go spend relatively equal money to hire a new coach, a new staff, build a war chest to be a recruiting power again. Like, all of that stuff is very pricey, and there's a lot going on there. And with the dynamics of college football, I don't think FSU is in a rush to create more financial debt for themselves if they can help it. So I think that's a two-sided answer. I think fan base-wise, FSU fans want to beat Miami. They want to beat Florida. They want to be competitive in the ACC. That's sort of like the beginning barometer for them. But I think there's an element of if there is show of improvement over 500 bowl game, I think retention of the head coach is pretty likely.
Yeah, and that Miami game is kind of like tenfold because, I mean, it's a recruiting game. It's a, a lot of these kids played with and against each other for years, maybe back to youth football league. So there's kind of a mutual respect as well as being kind of a really good. It's not like the Gators and FSU, where there's more of a little kind of a hatred there. Miami and FSU have always been kind of really good rivals as far as that's concerned. And certainly, like you said, I mean, that's a big game last year. Miami had a lot more talent, but FSU hung with them all the way, came back in the, second half and made a really, really exciting game. You take a look at this offense, and obviously there's some new faces, but when you look at guys like Deuce Robinson, a guy who's arguably one of the best, in the ACC, and you look at some of the other talent that's on that team, what kind of offense do you expect this year? Did Ashton Daniels, did he grab that starting quarterback position?
Yeah, Ashton Daniels is their definitive starter. I think they're going to try to insulate him to some degree by being an effective running team. They, again, went portal heavy with the offensive line. That group should be an effective run blocking group. In the run game, Usman Chroma is a guy they expect to take a second-year leap for them. Sam Singleton's had a really good preseason for them. Trey Wisner is a guy they brought in from Texas, so they kind of have a three-headed group there. At receiver, they do have Deuce Robinson, as you mentioned, Micah Danzy. Young man from down your way, Jason Lopez, is really pushing to try to be a third guy for them in that starting rotation of receivers. But I think with Daniels, it's going to be quick passing game, try to run the ball effectively, take some shots vertically. But teams are going to try to take that away. Where FSU season is going to be determined offensively is how good has Ashton Daniels become at throwing short and intermediate routes, especially to the middle of the field, and how much has he improved with taking care of the ball, something that's been a, you know, catch 22 for him throughout his collegiate career, is giving the ball away mainly by interceptions. He has to improve in that department for the offense to take a step forward.
Defensively, 12 new faces in the two deep. Obviously, there's a program, like you said, they went into the portal defensively, but they returned some pretty good pieces as well. Talk about what you expect out of this defense.
Yeah, good pieces coming back include guys like the Desir twins up front, Jabril Rawls in the secondary, Ashlyn Barker, who will play rover for them this year, is also a returning player. And then, yeah, they went and got some pieces. Nehemiah Chandler is a guy who's going to push for cornerback too, competing with Quindarius Jones. They went and got two new safeties in Mekhi Jones and C.J. Richard. Those two are competing with K.J. Kirkland for their other two safety spots beyond Barker playing rover. The defense is going to go as the defensive line goes, which is cliche, and everybody says that about football, but it's also true. And from FSU's standpoint, they went and got two players who can truly play the jack position, like a hybrid edge linebacker. That's Rylan Kennedy from Texas A&M, who they're betting big on, and then Jalen Anderson from the JUCO ranks. They need those two guys to hit. That's got to be something that helps provide a consistent one-on-one winning pass rush for them. If they have that, they'll be good against the pass. Now the question is, will they be good against the run? The last time we saw FSU play, Jaden Ball ran for like 3,500 yards against them in the Florida game. So there's the element of, like, can they be better against the run? It's been a huge focus here all offseason. I think they're better throughout the middle of the defense, linebacker, safeties, and those tackles. But they don't have a space heater like they had with Darnell Jackson, Darryl Jackson, who just claimed so much space, ate it up, freed up guys to try to make tackles. That's going to be kind of a big question. They've had two scrimmages here this preseason. In the first, they struggled some in that department. It sounded like last evening in their second one, they were better in that department. So I'm going to wait and see. I mean, they got SMU Labor Day night. SMU is a very good running team, both at quarterback and with the running back they brought in from Cal. That should be a nice litmus test, and then we'll certainly know the next week, a little over a week later when they play Alabama. So we're going to have a pretty good read of it by the end of September if they've improved in that department, but they have to. If they do not, they're going to struggle, and they're going to be a sub-500 team again.
Yeah, which is not good news. This is a team, too, that's kind of, you know, over the last couple of years kind of struggled to recruit, get good freshman kids to come in. I think this year they got a couple of good ones. I mean, you know, you talked about Jason Lopez. You know, you look at Devin Carter, you look at Trey Bell from down this area as well. Isaiah Williams, who's going to be somebody special. Any of these freshmen have an opportunity to maybe make, an impact? I know you mentioned Jason Lopez. Will we see Trey Bell at all this year?
I think Trey might be a two-deep guy for them. They've really only talked a lot about those first four safeties, which is Barker, Richard, Jones, and K.J. Kirkland as kind of their primary group for the four spots, with some flexibility with those guys playing multiple spots. It will be interesting who essentially grabs the fifth and the sixth safety spots for them. I think Trey Bell's in that conversation. If I had to bet on a freshman right now, it would be Jason Lopez or Devin Carter. Devin had a great spring. Jason Lopez had a good spring. Jason Lopez has had an excellent preseason. Well, Devin's had a little bit more of a quiet preseason. I think Lopez 100% is going to play as their punt returner. I think he'll probably be their starting punt returner out of shoot. The question is, does he play receiver for them? Is he the third guy out there with Danzy and Romson? He's competing for that without a shadow of doubt. He has a real shot. If I had to mention another freshman, I'd probably go Chuck Kennan at cornerback, Chauncey Kennan, who's from Central Florida, Bradenton area. Sarasota, Bradenton area. He has a real shot. They have three pretty established corners, but after that, it's kind of wide open. Like a guy like Charles Lester, who's been here a couple years, he's competing for essentially a cornerback two spot. I think Chuck Kennan's right there with him competing for it. And the last name would be Isaiah Williams. He was putting together a nice first week of preseason, got a little banged up, won't be anything too serious, should be back. He has a chance of being on that two deep at linebacker too.
Yeah. Good stuff. You can find Chris at Knowles247. Does a great job. Chris, I can't thank you enough, man. We'll catch up soon. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Blue. Take it easy.
Good stuff. Chris Nee ends up our number one. Glad you could be with us. Don't go away. We got some really good guests coming up. Alex Dono is right on deck. We'll see you in a few.
time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Welcome back to hour number two. Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris up until 8 o'clock. Glad you could be with us. If you miss anything this evening that we've been talking about, as we have kickoff classics, we have college practices, we have a lot of things going on as football is becoming more intensive as we're here right now heading towards the middle of August in another few days. So just a program reminder, if you miss any of these, just go to WQAM.com, go to the top of the page where it says podcast, and there we are. You could hear, you could relive all these interviews that we have every week, each and every week. And also next week, just a program reminder, we'll be coming to you on Wednesday evening, which will be the eve of the 2026 kickoff for high schools. Some really, really good programs getting an opportunity. We have some excellent first couple of week games. Probably the best game next Thursday will be, if you're a University of Miami fan, you'll pretty much want to go to see MacArthur and Jacksonville Mandarin, because there'll be four Miami commitments in that game in Hollywood. So a couple of defensive backs, quarterback. So if you have an opportunity to do that, you'll love it. Great football to kick off the season in the Broward Showcase. We'll also talk to Dr. Kevin Perry next week about the nine games that will be taking place in the Showcase. Featured game coming up on that week from Saturday will be a doubleheader with Christopher Columbus and Bishop Gorman of Las Vegas. And then the highly anticipated seven-time defending state champion St. Thomas Aquinas against DeSoto of the Dallas area in Texas. As we said, University of Miami, big surprise last year and where they finished. A lot of people after that game thought, hey, listen, you know, one more Carson Beck pass and that could have been just a miracle of miracles. But they are ready, loaded with talent, whether it's some veteran talent that came in or some young talent that was recruited. Alex Dono, who just does an awesome job, and you know that, listening to him every year on this station, whether it's his fill-in gigs or whether it's our post-game show on the University of Miami football. His Locked On Canes podcast is one of the elite podcasts in the country, and he's kind enough to join us fresh from his vacation in beautiful Alaska. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time. Did you see many whales?
I saw a lot of whales, Blue. We did a whale watching tour in Juneau, Alaska. You know, they took us out on this big boat, and the drivers of the boats, they know the hot spots where the whales like to hang out. So they took us to a couple of those hot spots. We saw probably a couple dozen of them, Blue. We saw seals out there, sea otters. So it was a really cool experience. I can't ever really fully get away. So I was keeping up with college football news the entire time I was over there. Got back this morning from a red-eye flight back from Seattle after the cruise, and I got to work immediately, Blue, because we're 25 days away from Miami's season opener against Stanford, and that's just 25 more days for Mario and the team and me to lock in.
Yeah, no doubt. Alex, this is going to be a great year. I mean, obviously, a lot of new faces, but some key returners from last year. We knew at the beginning of last season that Miami had some talent. Would they be able to beat five SEC teams and get to the national championship game? A lot of people at the beginning of the year never thought that. Even when it was coming down to the stretch, they needed this crazy dominating performance against Pittsburgh to even be considered as a playoff team. I think this year could be one of the best years that this team has had, top to bottom. Talk about this program and what you like the most about the 2026 edition.
I mean, first things first, Blue, I really appreciate the mentality. You know, I see interviews that players do from other programs. You know, I was up at the ACC media days about 3 weeks ago, and Miami's players and Cristobal kind of, they conduct themselves a little bit differently because they're not ready to talk about, you know, the game against Florida State or the game against Notre Dame. Like, I heard some Florida State players talking about how they had Miami circle on their calendar. Cristobal does a great job of keeping his team on the 1-0 mentality. Like, they're not thinking about a game in October, October 17th. They're thinking about their next practice. They're thinking about their next rep. I think it's really cool the way that Cristobal has really drilled that mentality into everybody, you know, just to focus on going 1-0. Don't think about 12-0 or 16-0. Thinking about going 1-0. And then, of course, with the actual on-the-field stuff, Blue, the team, as you and I have talked about countless times, you know, over the last few years, it's progressively getting deeper and deeper to the point where, you know, people from the outside looking in might be very concerned about, hey, how do you replace four starting offensive linemen from last year? How do you replace Bain and Mesidor? Blue, Miami's reloading. And I think that's something that's been evident going back to spring football. And of course, you know, this past week of training camp is, you know, you start with the offensive line. Alex Mirabal, the coach of that unit, he seems really dialed in and rejuvenated to kind of have to prepare. You know, there's a couple of experienced guys like Samson Okunlola, Matt McCoy, Ryan Rodriguez is a veteran with all his years in the program, but there's a lot of young guys getting them prepared. And it really seems like Mirabal is enjoying that challenge. But Blue, I see the players rising to the occasion. I mean, you know, look at the way a guy like Jackson Cantwell has been performing in practice as a true freshman. I think one of the best stories, Blue, so far in training camp has been the rise of Ben Congdon, another true freshman who is gigantic. I mean, he's similar dimensions to Cantwell. Congdon is 6'8", 330. I love the fact that Congdon was a high-level high school wrestler because I think there's so much crossover when it comes to the explosive strength and the leverage that you need to be a wrestler. I think that carries over so well to the offensive line. And on the defensive line, there's a lot of dudes there. I mean, Damon Wilson is a veteran who has proven to rack up high sack counts in the SEC. Now he's a Cane for his senior season. Marquise Lightfoot has continued to put on size, and I think he's becoming even more of a weapon out there. Armando Blunt at defensive end, and then in the interior to have players like Justin Scott and Ahmad Moten, I think two of the best defensive tackles in the entire country. You know, you look at what Miami lost on the D-line and the O-line, I think those units are going to be the strength of the team again, Blue.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And obviously linebacker, where there's some question marks, but the very fact that you have that amazing defensive front, especially, I think they're deep, as you mentioned, Armando Blunt. You look at guys, you know, like Jarquez Carter, who they recruited really, really, really heavily the first time around, and he's back with them now. I've heard nothing but positives about people like Herbert Scroggins. And obviously, you know, we know that this program has an opportunity. Linebacker-wise, Muhammad Tarare comes back for a year or whatever. And and obviously, Chase Smith, you know, and then you have Cam Pruitt and, you know, Kamal Bonner, who I think is going to be really good. And then we talked about Kellen Wiley. And then the secondary, which – I think you and I spoke about this a couple of years ago where, wow, it was a weakness. It hurt them in a lot of games. I still remember them having leads and then blowing the leads. But this may be one of the deepest secondaries they've had in a long time.
Yeah, and the secondary, Blue, has been another great story throughout training camp. You know, O.J. Frederick, there's been a couple of days where he's really shined when it comes to creating interceptions, which is something he seems to be becoming more dangerous as a turnover threat. He's obviously already been one of the better cover corners in the entire country. Xavier Lucas is back this year. I'm hearing so much praise, Blue, for Omar Thornton, you know, the hard hitting, but also probably better in coverage than I thought, you know, safety transfer from Boston College, who's really kind of setting the tone in practice. And Miami has depth at those spots. You know, J.J. Dunnigan, we've talked about, is a true freshman who's really shined. Zechariah Poyser is back this year. You know, Dylan Day, a young safety, has played well. Yep. Bryce Fitzgerald is one of the most heralded guys in the country. Miami's got good backup cornerbacks as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier offensive and defensive line can be the strength of the team again. But I really – there's other position groups, Blue. I shouldn't leave out the secondary, which should be yep. one of the better units in the country. And I also, on the offensive side, shouldn't leave out quarterback with Darian Mensah, wide receiver with Tony and Barkate, and a lot of talent, and the running back room. So, you know, there's obviously a couple question marks. You mentioned linebacker, but they've been performing pretty well. Tight end is not very deep, especially with Luka Gilbert, unfortunately, being out for the year with injury. You know, we've got questions about the kickers because we got two new kickers competing again. But outside of that, Miami's pretty stacked, Blue.
Yep. Hey, before I let you go, Alex, Jackson Cantwell. Here's somebody that we watched. I watched them all spring. During a spring game, I was right on the sideline and just, you know, maybe watched every single play that he had. You know, I make a comment and people kind of like take it out of context where I said that, you know, at this level, being a freshman, you know, in college, he's at that Jonathan Ogden. He's at that Orlando Pace type of prospect because they both came out as heralded high school football players, you know, with great size, great strength, probably more knowledge than most, you know, incoming freshmen. Talk about him.
Yeah, well, first, Blue, I'll say it's a shame the way people take that stuff out of context because, you know, you made those remarks on Locked On Canes with me, and you could not have been any more clear about, you know, when you were, you know, using the names Jackson Cantwell and Orlando Pace in the same sentence. You made it abundantly clear you were talking about strictly as high school prospects, but I don't know how people take that stuff out of context. But on Cantwell, he was just put on Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, put Cantwell at number 4 on his annual freaks list this year, which tells you a lot. You know, both of his parents were Olympian shot putters. Cantwell's a very high-level shot putter. He's 6'8", 335. I think the most impressive thing about Cantwell, I mean, obviously to be 6'8", 335, you know, Gatorade Player of the Year, 5-star offensive tackle, obviously you've got to have good feet, be graceful, move well. He's got all of that. But I appreciate the way Cantwell, he's very intelligent, Blue, and he soaks things up like a sponge. You know, usually when you talk to veteran offensive linemen about Cantwell, just his work ethic and his intelligence and high football IQ is the first thing that people bring up. And, you know, he's got to go out there and earn it. But I understand the context of your comments. I think Cantwell has the physical and mental upside to become a great offensive tackle after already having been that in high school. So I'm really excited. And Blue, if you're an offensive lineman, Miami is the right place to develop. I mean, the track record of Coach Cristobal and Coach Mirabal, they've done it now multiple times at Miami, countless times at Oregon. Cristobal, when he was the O-line coach at Alabama, Miami is the place. When you're an elite offensive lineman and you want to compete and work hard, Miami is the place to develop. And I think Jackson Cantwell is going to end up reaching his highest peak as a Miami Hurricane.
Yep, I hope so too. Follow Alex Donnell, Locked On Canes, every day, sometimes two times, maybe even three, because he's got a lot of talent, you know, a lot of things happening over the next couple of weeks as they close in on the 2026 season kickoff on a Friday evening. Alex, I can't thank you enough, brother. We'll talk very, very soon.
Thanks, Blue.
Good stuff. Alex Dono, got to get some rest on that red eye coming back from Seattle. You know, athletes study the playbook. We study the science of the comeback. Let the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute help you recover. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsports.com. When we come back, we'll tackle a little bit of high school football. A pair of local coaches, Coach Ariel Cabrero from Barbara Goldman and Coach Jake Pugh from Archbishop McCarthy are next.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris with you up until 8 o'clock. Glad you could be with us on a Monday evening. It is a week of kickoff classics in the state of Florida, especially here in South Florida. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of anticipation. Had an opportunity to go out to a couple scrimmages over the weekend. Excited that football's back in the air. The weather's hot. And tell you what, for long, we'll be kicking this thing off. And then it moves along. I mean, before you know, we're in week four, we're in week five. One of the programs that really made the most of 2025 are the Gators of Barbara Goldman High School right there at Miami Lakes. Coach Ariel Cribero has done an awesome job bringing this team together. Got an awesome coaching staff, tremendous players. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Enjoyed seeing you guys. A lot of fun on a Saturday at Pace, watching football, darn it.
Yep. Hey, Blue, thanks for having me on again. So, yeah, it was great to get some work done on Saturday morning. Obviously, the heat affected us. So we were only able to get half the scrimmage done. But, hey, half is better than none.
Yeah, no doubt. But you know what? You guys made the most of it this summer. I mean, you guys went to a lot of things, 7-on-7. Your linemen got to go to camp. You went up to Kaiser for their padded camp, their team camp, which is always a great thing to have, you know, especially getting a chance to knock some heads in early June against some really good football competition. Talk about the off season. You know as well as I do that your success over the last couple of years has to be directly are a direct result to what you do in the off season.
Absolutely. So for us, you know, and for a lot of people, football is a 12-month sport. You know, we consider our season to start in May, April, May, when we get into spring ball. And then, you know, obviously June, we go to Kaiser camp and we play football. I mean, it's thud, but thud is better than, you know, 7-on-7 in my opinion. So just being able to get those live reps, you know, we counted them this year. We played in a 3-day span. We played 712 live snaps against incredibly talented teams up there at Kaiser, Palm Beach Central. Joaquin Garcia has a great squad. Atlantic, you know, some really good teams that we don't necessarily see in our area. So it's phenomenal, you know. So we always base our year on spring, going into June, and then obviously starting, you know, summer camp and keeping the continuity, right? We same kids, same concepts. If you look at a game of ours from the spring to now, you're going to see a lot of the same faces and a lot of the same stuff that we do. And we get really good at it. That's what we try to do.
Yeah. And the one thing good too about your program is your fans buy into it, your student body, your administration, certainly very, very much behind what's going on. I mean, you know, let's face it, Goldman hasn't been a football power throughout the years. And certainly what you guys have done as an independent and then, you know, going back in the mainstream last year, going 3 rounds deep in the state playoffs. And what does that do for a program like that? Because, you know, you know, sometimes it's not easy to get, you know, talent out, you know, well, coach, I'd much rather not play. And you know, you made a great point because I used that today about, I think it was Miami High. I was talking to, you know, Coach Pat Colon, and we were talking about, you know, getting kids out. He goes, I just need to get some size. I said, well, you could go over to Goldman. They have plenty of it in the band. And that's what you had said to me. He goes, I'll tell you what. He says, we have mammoth kids that play tuba. And I was thinking about what you said, and you're not off. And it's just, it's a shame because a lot of these young men, and I know that they, you know, want to be in music and everything, but they could really help the school out because, you know, let's face it. I mean, you know, you need all hands on deck, you know, when you build a program. But talk about that, because you've got more players out than probably most coaches have in the past at Goldman.
So I think today we had 110 kids out for football.
Wow.
You know, 110 kids at practice. So we definitely get the kids out, you know, but
But over the years, the expectation has changed at Golden. You know, we ran, you know, and I just looked at our max prep records over the last decade, and we've actually won 66% of our games.
Okay.
Over a 10-year span. And you know, a good chunk of that was in the independent league, and, you know, and there's still great competition there. But since we've been in a district, every year we feel like we've been better. We've been able to compete more. You know, so the expectation has changed for us. The type of kids that are coming into our program have changed as well, you know, but we take great pride, you know, just taking whatever kids come out, whatever kids want to be out there and trying to build as best of the team as we can. You know, we may have kids out there that may not meet the size or the speed that the prototypical look that you might expect, but, you know, but we get them to perform. We try to do as best we can with the guys that we have. We're not going to make excuses about talent. You know, that was my number one thing. You know, when I started to really kind of turn this program around, or really we as my coaching staff, we said talent is not going to be our excuse. We're going to find answers. You know, we're going to find answers for our issues. And we've done a pretty good job over the last few years. You know, but yes, Blue, I mean, the school expects the football program to be competitive. It's a rallying cry around our school. You know, it's amazing to watch our school transform from a baseball school to a football school over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So, hey, it's rewarding, you know, as an alumni.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking to some of the older alumni, you know, that played with me back, you know, back in the hard days, you know, the 2 and 8 years, the 1 and 9 years, you know, they're excited. They come out to the games. They come out to practice all the time.
Yeah, that's good to see. Coach Ariel Cubero joins us from Barbara Goldman High School. You open up kickoff classic this Friday, LaSalle, Immaculata LaSalle. Coach Helder's done a tremendous job with that program, yeah, as you know. And then the season starts, and it's going to be competitive. Talk about some of the teams that you're looking forward to matching up against.
I mean, listen, just kickoff classic, just playing Coach Valle's team. I mean, listen, from afar, I've always seen what they've done and admired it. So it's going to be great to play those guys. I mean, just on our schedule, I'm excited to play some of these teams. I can't wait to play NMB, and I can't wait to do it because I have such great respect for that program, you know, and what they've been able to do over the years and the toughness that Coach Bertani has put into those kids. You know, that's something that I've definitely admired. I've always sort of tried to replicate that in a way. You know, and you look at our district is going to be very competitive. You know, great games there. We always have a great game with Doral Academy. You know, I look forward to playing schools like West Broward that were in the state title last year. You know, I'm excited to see the changes over at Cypress Bay. You know, and I say the word excited because that's what we want. You know, we want to compete.
Yeah.
You know, we want to go out there and put ourselves among the best. You know, I always tell our kids, I said, I think third round of the playoffs last year, there were only four teams from Dade County still in it. And that was, wow, Miami Northwestern, Central, Palmetto, and Goldman. And I said, it's great to be among those names. It's great to be among those programs. You know, so we're not going to shy away from competition, and we're going to go out there and do the best we can.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach, great seeing you guys the other day. I'll get out, obviously. You'll have a game or two that I can get to this year. And it's always fun to see you and the coaches. The kids are always great. And I got a chance to spend a lot of time with your trainer because it was so hot. I sat under her tent this last week, but got to learn a lot about her, if nothing else. But again, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time and making time for us on a Monday.
No, Blue, thank you for having me on. Take
care. Good stuff. Coach Ariel Cubero, the head coach at Barbara Goldman. 7-5 last year, went 3 rounds deep. Come on. You can't beat that at all. Speaking about going a couple of rounds deep, how about what's happening with Archbishop McCarthy? This is a program that really has done an outstanding job over the last 3-4 years. Came out of independent, started banging heads right away with great teams like Norland and like American Heritage and like Plantation. And last year won the district, lost, beat Heritage, and then, you know, obviously lost to them in the state playoffs. But I'll tell you what, the job that Coach Jake Pugh and his staff have done is just amazing. And he's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And obviously I know that every year you guys strive to get better. They make it tough for you. They put you in with some of these really, really good teams, but you've answered every bell. And again, congratulations on what's happened so far and what lies ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, Larry, and I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, you know, anytime, and watching what you guys have done. And, you know, that's the same thing with Coach Cabrero that I just talked to. I mean, you know, everywhere I went during the offseason, whether it was Kaiser or somebody's 7-on-7s or line camps, I always saw his players. Same thing with yours. I mean, and you, I know that you prescribe to what you put in March, April, May, and June, and into July is going to be reflection on what happens in October and November. Talk about what this program has done, you know, to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a product of a lot of hard work. It's been a product of a lot of patience and some consistency. And, you know how it is. It doesn't stop. It really goes 365 days out of the year. So obviously it's been building over time. And, you know, where we're at now is, you know, again, a product of a lot of hard work and dedication from everyone that's involved in our program. But, you know, trying to get the kids out to the camps and get them competing against, you know, against some other talent in the state of Florida is obviously important, because, you know, that's going to help them prepare, you know, for the fall, you know, when it matters.
Yeah.
You know, we tell our kids we train 365 days out of the year for, you know, a maximum of 15 opportunities, right? So most of the time you spend is in practice and in training. You know, so again, our kids, they put a lot of hard work in, and again, they're very consistent about it too.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you put together a schedule where you play three teams who are in state finals, including Jacksonville Bulls and West Broward and obviously St. Thomas Aquinas. I mean, you do that, and Jacksonville Bulls is going to be a kickoff class or a Broward showcase game. What you were in last year, you come up with a big win over Cardinal Gibbons. I know the kids are really, really looking forward to that. I know you play Royal Palm Beach, and you play a really good game on Thursday, which I'll be at, against Miami Palmetto, another team who had an opportunity to maybe win state last year as well. Talk about the schedule, because I know that you're only used to this. I mean, you guys, you know, come from up north where you play competitive football all the time. And certainly, you know, with Coconut Creek and Norland and True North and a really good First Academy team that you and I saw, you know, playing the 7-on-7 down here, and Community School in Naples, a program that you guys had a nice game with as well. Talk about that, because I think this schedule is probably top to bottom one of your most challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it wasn't easy finding games. I mean, we're not a part of the BCAA, so, you know, we get our two district games with St. Thomas and Flanagan, and we had to go out and find eight other teams to play. You know, and obviously with the teams that you just mentioned, you know, we really don't get a week off, right? You know, from start to finish, every week's going to be competitive. Every week's going to be a four-quarter football game. But I think, you know, that's what makes it fun, right? I think that's what makes coaching fun. That's what makes, you know, competing fun. To where you're going to go in and you're going to have to earn to win. You know, it's fun to prepare, and it's fun to go out on a Friday night and actually play some really good football against obviously some great competition with, you know, just about every single one of those schools that you mentioned right there.
Yeah.
So it's exciting for sure.
No doubt. Head coach Jake Pugh from Archbishop McCarthy with us this evening. And coach, you know, the one thing over the last couple of years, and I know that Archbishop, since they opened, their administration's always been supportive, and the student body has gotten behind the program. Talk about that, because, you know, going to the playoff game last year against Heritage, you know, at home, having a game at home like that, you know, of that magnitude, you know, and seeing all your administrators out there and a lot of the fans, you know, a couple of graduates, that's got to make you feel good, you know, that everybody's supporting you and everybody's behind you. And it makes, I'm sure, your job a lot easier.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and again, you say the word support, you know, it's definitely necessary, you know, to run an operation and make sure you're getting the most out of it. You know, and we have alignment, you know, we have alignment with our football program, the administration, you know, from an academic standpoint, from a school culture standpoint, from a football program standpoint. You know, and again, it just, it just makes things that much easier, you know, when everyone's on the same page and everyone's kind of moving in the same direction and thinking the same thing from a vision standpoint long term.
Right. Yeah. And you're home this Thursday. You play Miami Palmetto, a team that you, you know, played last year in the kickoff classic. And Coach Manasco obviously does a tremendous job. Came with it a 2-point conversion of maybe, you know, having a chance to win last year. What do you look for to get out of this coming into your, you know, your opener next week? What do you look to get out of this Thursday night's, you know, kickoff classic game as far as taking a look at some of the players that you know that are established, but also, I guess getting a chance to look at some new faces.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just saying to the kids today, I look at Thursday as it's another day of practice, right? It's a scrimmage. It doesn't count towards the year, but it's the first opportunity you get to go against a different color jersey, which is always fun. You know, you're in fall camp for now, you know, just about 2 weeks, and you've been hitting each other, you know, every single day, and it'll be fun to go out and obviously compete and play against another team, you know, and Palmetto with being the team that they are and, you know, the success that they've had, you know, it's going to give us, you know, a nice test, and it'll give us an idea where we're going to be at this year, you know, playing such a good quality team, you know, like them. So we're excited about it. Obviously, your main priority is to come out healthy, but also, you know, really get guys out there to, you know, show us what they can do, put them in different positions, and, you know, hopefully finalize some depth chart, you know, question marks that we have still leading into, you know, next week with Royal Palm Beach.
Yeah, that was my question, too. I mean, because obviously you have a really good idea. You've only been in camp a couple of weeks, which is kind of, you know, crazy, you know, to think about. And here you are, you know, playing your, you know, your exhibition, your kickoff classic this week. And then next week, all the lights go on for real. Do you have some questions at some positions that you maybe not from a starting standpoint, but maybe depth? That you're going to maybe address on Thursday?
I think there might be a few. You know, again, we've been in camp. You know, we go all summer, we weight lift, and we do all that stuff. You know, yeah. We've been in camp, you know, playing real football now for 2 weeks. So a lot of the things have kind of been answered, you know, these past 2 weeks. But, you know, always good, you know, when they go out there and they gotta execute under the bright lights, right? And, you know, they got to go out and compete against a different color jersey. So, obviously, we have a good idea of who's going to be where and what guys, you know, are going to be our guys. But, you know, again, I think Thursday is a real good opportunity to kind of finalize some of those question marks that we might have.
Yeah, I agree with you. Coach, I can't thank you enough for stopping in on a Monday. We'll see you on Thursday night again. Coach, appreciate you, man. Best of luck this season.
Thanks, Larry. Look forward to seeing you Thursday.
Good stuff. Coach Jake Pugh, the head coach at Archbishop McCarthy, a team that won the district last year. Come on. And that's a district that had New Orleans, that had American Heritage, who won for the second straight year. So, obviously, the talent's there, the opportunity for them to kind of prove themselves, you know, once again this year, the stakes get a little bit higher, but you never know. I mean, with this open division, you know, and St. Thomas being one of the district teams, and a lot of people are predicting great things for the Raiders and Coach Harriet this year. So you never know what happens. You know, then the next man up. I mean, if you don't make the open division, then you play for a region title and hopefully get to state, something that eluded them that last year. Because if you figure if they would have won that game last year against American Heritage and then went up, and I believe they would have, well, I'm trying to know, as a district champ, I think they would have hosted Fort Walton Beach Choctaw. They could have gone to state and, you know, and maybe have done the same thing that Heritage did against Orlando Jones. So it's going to be fun for them, and it's going to be fun to watch them. I'm going to be out there on Thursday evening. Don't forget, we'll have on our LarryBluestein.com website, we'll have coming up on Wednesday, we'll have the entire Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday schedule. Earlier, we talked to Ira Reynolds. Call him Ira Winterman. Ira Reynolds, you know, about what he's got going on as well. You know, from the weekend warrior to the starting lineup, the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute helps every athlete recover their game. Visit uhealthsports.com. That's uhealthsports.com. When we come back, we'll take our final timeout. We'll wrap things up for a Monday. Don't go away.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Back to wrap things up with you on a Monday evening. Glad you could be with us on Kickoff Classic Week. Next week is going to be huge, and we'll be on with you Wednesday 6 to 8. We'll have some really good guests, kind of like ushering the first week of the season. And you could guarantee, I mean, not that we've had bad guests, because we've, you know, in the off season we have a lot of college coaches, but I think from now on you're going to hear some really good guests that kind of reflect the football season. And certainly there's some really good, I could tell you right now, we'll have a Dr. Kevin Perry on next week from the Broward Showcase. They have 9 games in that Broward National Showcase over 2 weeks. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll break those down with him as well. Really good show. And I do want to say, because you know, everyone goes, hey, a lot of people listen to your show. Well, I know a couple of people do, because I just got a couple of messages. I said that Chaminade was playing on Friday. They're playing Saturday, okay, up in Palm Beach at Palm Beach Central against Miami New Orleans. Okay, so let me kind of rectify that. I don't want to send you up there because you'll get upset if you're a Chaminade or a New Orleans fan, and you'll get a chance to see Palm Beach Central and Northwestern, which will still be a pretty good game. We talked to Ira Reynolds, you know, who's putting on those showcase games at Palm Beach Central, as part of the Sports for Change Kickoff Classic. You go to the Sports for Change website, and you can purchase your tickets to any of the 3 games. That includes Chaminade and New Orleans on Saturday, Northwestern and Palm Beach Central on Friday, and then West Broward, defending 6A state runner-up against a really good defending 5A state runner-up Lakeland team. So kind of go there. It's a good little kickoff classic. I think they're, you know, a lot of them, as you heard Coach Jake Pugh say just now, it's kind of more of a exhibition. Charles Fishbein dropped by from Elite Scouting Services. Chris Knee talked a little bit of FSU football from Knowles 247. Alex Dono, our buddy, and just a great guy from Locked On Canes, dropped by. We'll talk a little University of Miami. Talk high school football. Coach Ariel Cribero, the head coach at Barbara Goldman High School. And we ended things up with Coach Jake Pugh, who is the head coach at Archbishop McCarthy right here in the Fort Lauderdale area. I call it Southwest Ranches, which is kind of a subdivision and not so much a city. But what the heck, right? That's going to do it for a Monday. Trevor Harris, thanks so much for what you do all the time and every week. We will be back with you next Wednesday, 6-8. Please have a great week. See you then.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.